Let us pray. Let's just pray. Our Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for your loving kindness, for your faithfulness, because you reign and you're the same. I just pray, Lord, this morning, thanking you for all that you have already blessed us with. And thank you because your Holy Spirit is one. And I just pray you'll empty me now, Lord. Empty me and fill me, Lord, so that my lips will be a blessing to everyone under the sound of my voice, and that your name will be glorified through this word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to just listen to a small clip, 2-3 minutes, that summarizes the scripture that is the basis of the talk today. Advancing the topic that was given to me is Advancing the Kingdom of God, the Gibeonite Deception. I'm going to change that a little bit and call it Beware of the Gibeonite Deception and the Place of Obedience. Beware of the Gibeonite Deception and Place of Obedience. So this video summarizes chapter 9 of Joshua. So let's just listen, even if we haven't read that scripture before. This encapsulates it, yes.
The Gibeonites deceived Joshua. After the Israelites took the city of Ai, word quickly spread of their victory. The kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites began planning how they could combine their armies to do battle with the Israelites. The city of Gibeon and the nearby towns of Kephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim people met in fear, wondering what to do. They knew God had told the Israelites not to make treaties with anyone in Canaan, but destroy all those living in the land because of their wickedness. Instead of joining those gathering to fight the Israelites, the Gibeonites came up with a devious plan to save their lives. Gibeon was only a 3-day walk from the Israelite base at Gilgal. The people of Gibeon and the nearby towns were Hivites. A group of ambassadors were chosen. They loaded their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old, patched wineskins. They put on worn-out, patched sandals and ragged clothes. And the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the Israelite camp at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." Joshua asked them, "How do we know you don't live nearby? For if you do, we cannot make a treaty with you. This bread was hot from the ovens when we left our homes," they replied, "but now, it is dry and moldy. These wineskins were new when we filled them, but now they are old and split open. And our clothing and sandals are worn out from our very long journey." Joshua and the Israelites examined their food but did not ask God what to do. Joshua then made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety. The leaders of the Israelites signed the agreement with a binding oath. 3 days after making the treaty, the Israelites learned that the Gibeonites actually lived nearby. They sent men to investigate and reached their town in 3 days. The people of Israel grumbled against their leaders because of the treaty. The leaders replied, "Since we have sworn an oath in the presence of the Lord, we cannot touch the Gibeonites. Divine anger would come upon us if we broke our promise." Joshua called a meeting with the Gibeonites and asked, "Why did you lie to us and say that you lived in a distant land when you live right here among us? From now on you will always be servants who cut wood and carry water for the house of our God. We did it because the Lord your God commanded Moses to give you this entire land and to destroy everyone in it," they replied. "Now we are at your mercy to do to us whatever you think is right." Joshua did not allow the people of Israel to kill them. Instead, the Gibeonites became woodcutters and water carriers for the community of Israel and the altar of the Lord. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up. Share and leave a comment. Subscribe.
Yes, so that actually tells us the story about the Gibeonites. If you've never heard that, in summary, these were people who were living beside the Israelites. And I just want us to think for a moment, 30 seconds, 1 minute. Write it down or make a note of it. From about 1 o'clock today and for the next 24 hours, think about what your plans are. How do you think it's going to pan out? What are your thoughts? So just take a moment to think about it. When you leave church today, what's going to happen? When are you going to bed? When are you going to wake up? Up till about 1 p.m. today. If you can make a memory of that, and maybe at the community groups, then talk about, make a comparison to how your 24 hours actually panned out. I'll leave it there. What was the Gibeonites' deception? Verses 13 to 15 of Joshua chapter 9 says, they were saying, and these wineskins that were filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out from a long journey. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. It became a covenant. It became a binding agreement. 3 days after they made the treaty, with the Gibeonites, the Israelites said that they were their neighbors, just living nearby. Let's actually walk in the shoes of the Gibeonites for a moment. These were people, a pagan worshiping nation, that God had practically condemned by the Israelites, because God said he shouldn't spare any of them. And they had seen what God had done to the Israelites, to Jericho. The people of Israel only had to walk around the city and sing, and the city was destroyed. And they saw what God had done also to Ai, in chapter 8. And they also saw what God had done through the Israelites in Egypt, and they were afraid. They were really fearful of the Israelites. And so they did their homework well. While the other Amorites decided to come together to see what they wanted to do with Israel, these people said, if we wait one more minute, we'll be dead before we know what's going on. So they only did what they needed to do to survive, in fairness to them. If they had told the Israelites that they were their neighbors, I don't think the Israelites would enter into any treaty with them. If I were a Gibeonite, living without the God of Israel, I probably would have appreciated the wisdom that came from that discussion, even though it was deceptive. But what they did enabled them to live. So the way I read this, it wasn't the problem. It is that the problem was not really the Gibeonites. They were only doing what they needed to do to survive. They were aligning themselves with the God of Israel because they had seen him do miraculous things through them. And even if it meant that there would be woodcutters all their life, at least they were alive. That's the truth. They were alive. And the leaders of Israel, I think the problem was the leaders of Israel. They were persuaded only by what they had heard and seen. Are we sometimes taken in when someone new comes into our lives or into the church and appears to walk the walk or talk the talk, so to say? Can we tell the difference between pretense and genuine interactions? A couple of years ago, I was in a very vulnerable place. And I made a decision that even looking back, I didn't recognize as myself. I see myself generally as a cautious person before making decisions. You know, I don't generally follow the crowd. And I made this decision, and there were red flags. And I ignored it. And to be honest, the consequences of it was not pleasant. The consequences of it, I can still see today. Even though God is a gracious God, and I was in a vulnerable state, it is not an excuse for me not to have consulted God. It's not an excuse for me not to have inquired of God. He has said, ask and it will be given to you, you know. He says we should call on his name. We were singing a song this morning, one of the songs, and thank you, Karen, for all those beautiful songs. He said, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day, not just once a week, not just when I feel good. He said, in living by the power of your love. renew my mind. I didn't, and it cost me dearly. And this is the same thing that kind of happened to the Israelites. Nicky Gumbel, in one of his write-ups, says, I can identify with him, and perhaps you can as well. He said, this is the history of my Christian life. Excuse me. For a day or two, or even a week or two, I believe his promises. I sing his praises. But then I soon go out and forget what he has done and fail to wait for his counsel or to ask his advice about everything. Let's think about it. The people of Israel, we talked about the God of Moses, we talked about the God of David. The people of Israel had everything they needed in God. Everything. Why did they think they needed a treaty? Thank you. Why did they think they needed a treaty with anyone at that time? I don't recollect anywhere in the instruction that God gave them where he mentioned the need for a treaty, which is an agreement between two countries or more. God had proved himself to the Israelites time and time again. He had shown himself merciful to them. And even when they disobeyed him, he still came through for them. The Gibeonites didn't even mention where they came from. Each time they asked, they just said, we came from a far country. That should have been a red flag. Each time, about two or three times, said, we come from a far country. Doesn't your country have a name? You know, we've come from a far country. We've come from a far country. And they repeatedly said this, and that should have been a warning to the Israelites. The real issue here was what the Israelites did with the information that was before them. They went by their sight. They didn't go by what God was saying. God had instructed them that in order to get into the land he promised to them and Abraham, they only needed to obey him. The promise symbolized divine blessing and fulfillment of God's promise to his people. And this was the second time. I believe it was Jillian that was sharing about Achan and the impact it had on the children of Israel. That was just in chapter 7. And now we're just in chapter 9. They quickly had forgotten the place of maybe seeking God's face. This was the second biggest mistake they were making under the leadership of Joshua in their bid to conquer Canaan. All they needed to have done was to ask God for his direction. They had forgotten the impact that the disobedience of Achan had had, not just on Achan, but on the whole camp of Israel. So sometimes when we make our decisions, we don't know the impact it's having, not just on us as individuals, but on the body of Christ. Not just on us, we may be strong, but what about our brother? What about our sister? And it's very important that we are cognizant of our actions around others. We cannot, even when we are in vulnerable situations, use our vulnerability as an excuse. If we do, we'll still bear the consequences. Vulnerability, we being, you know, not so good today, is no excuse for disobeying what God has called us to do. The Gibeonites gave Joshua what he wanted to hear or see. And this highlights the importance of the gift of discernment as Christians and as a church. It highlights the importance of wisdom when dealing with others and in handling matters, if we truly want to advance the kingdom of God. For Thorough Christian Fellowship, what is the vision that God has given us at this time in our desire to do God's will? As individuals, because the church is made up of individuals, do we seek the Lord's direction in all that we do to fulfill this vision? Or are we trying to help God along by what we think we know? There might be a specific vision that God has given you as an individual, or us as a church, or to the leadership. And I want to believe that whatever that vision is, if it is from the God, it is wrapped up in trusting and obeying God alone. Even when things don't go our way, as Lisa shared, prepare for the interview, God gave her the strength to stand before the people. But the answer was no at the time. Even when things don't look like what we imagine. You know, John was sharing on Joshua chapter 6 and talking about how God told them to march around the city. At the time, it would have looked foolish, but it only required obedience for the victory to be won. They took a step of faith, and we heard a couple of weeks ago about the place of courage, faith, and strength as key ingredients to bring about results that would otherwise be impossible. And I think my sister Gillian here also mentioned the need for us to trust the Lord with all our heart. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You will already see that there is a summary of what we've heard from the beginning of Joshua to this point. That phrase, trust in the Lord with all your heart, signifies a wholehearted reliance on God's wisdom and guidance, even when it seems foolish. It encourages us as believers to accept God's guidance and to place our total confidence in him, recognizing that he has given us everything that we need for a faithful life. Trust not only means believing in God's word, because we do, but it also means surrendering our own understanding and our own desires to his will. At this point, the Israelites thought maybe they had knew how to deal with the situation, and so they went their way, and the consequences were there. But I want to say something. Let's go back to the beginning of the instruction that God gave Joshua, because the story, if we've been, for some of us that have been going through the whole book of Joshua, you see that the aim is one, there is just one goal, Canaan land. Moses, my servant, is dead, he said in chapter 1 of Joshua. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the river that I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to Euphrates and to the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, only be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people into the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And we read in the Psalm, if we read that Psalm 16, you see that there was a place that God was saying, he will guide our way, whether you turn to the right, which way we should go. Sometimes to remind ourselves of what God is saying, you need to go back to the beginning of the instruction. That current instruction. Not the old one, because Moses was dead. We heard earlier on that the leadership style of Moses and Joshua was completely different. And so when you are in a place of work, you can't be taking the instruction of your old manager when you have a new manager. Nobody does that. If you do, you're likely to fail your probation or your, you know, appraisal. So you have to go with what is happening now. Because going back would be like, for us as Christians, going back to Egypt. The instruction to Joshua in 1:8 was to dwell in the law, it dwell in the word. And we need the word of God to be renewed in us constantly and be the strength in us. Without the word of God, there will be times that when you're vulnerable, you can't even pick up your Bible, and you need those words to come alive. You need those words to strengthen you. You need those words to encourage you and be your prayers at that moment. says, the instruction was, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. And to effectively carry out God's will and have good success, obedience to God is key. We need to make every effort to know what God is saying today, in the now, by allowing the Holy Spirit to daily guide us. And I think one of those songs we sang also said, you know, drawing from that river of the Holy Spirit. I can't remember the wordings well. Moses' style of leadership was completely different to Joshua's, as I've said. And he was a man who met with God face to face. It was time now for Joshua to go back to basics. The one thing that God was saying, he said, be strong, be courageous. He didn't say, follow Moses' way of leadership. The old ways of doing things is ended. The new has come. It is time for us to leave Egypt behind, to get out of the wilderness. In Moses' time, the people of God dwelt and lived and yearned and mumbled and complained in the wilderness. But when Joshua came, it was time for action. Let's just go conquering. Let's go get what God has told us. We're not going to spend 40 years again in the wilderness. Forget the cucumbers, the leeks, the onions. In fact, when I was thinking about this, you know when these things actually go bad, do you know how they smell? It is not desirable at all. Anything that seems good to the human eye, anything that is representing the Gibeonite deception, we need to let go of. Let's be courageous to focus on our Canaan land in advancing God's kingdom. Holding on to the past ways of doing things, the instructions of the past leaders, Moses and the like, was not going to get them into the promised land. Obedience to his word was guaranteeing them success. We heard a few weeks ago, God is building a people of power, but they only have power if they obey him. If it is not in obedience to the word, it will somehow surface to the point. Joshua did not inquire of the Lord, and the Gibeonites down the line became a thorn in their flesh. It was a problem that they could have done away with. Having said that, our God is merciful. Even when we make a mistake, he redeems us. We may have the scars, but he is a merciful God. To carry out the vision that God has given us, we need to constantly go back to inquire of God, the Holy Spirit, our guide and instructor, to know the steps he's asking us to take to keep on the track, on the right track of fulfilling this specific vision for this season, as individuals and as a church. While it is important to learn from the past, it is important for us not to dwell on the past. God is doing a new thing, and that means sometimes it requires new ways to walk alongside him to carry out the vision he's given us. Let me just go back a moment. To defeat Jericho, look at what God said. God told Joshua that the people should circle the city with praise and worship. Nobody went in or out of Jericho, and that's what they did and defeated Joshua. On the other hand, to defeat Ai, God instructed Joshua to draw the people out of the city by laying an ambush for them. Before Jericho, God said that they should not take any of the spoils of the land. If they do, it will be an accursed thing. And we see what happened with Canaan and the effect. Before Ai, God said to them, when you go and conquer the land, take the spoils and the cattle as a booty, as a reward for yourselves. So if we're to lead on our own understanding, we'll be confused. We'll say, why did you say we shouldn't now? Now you're saying we should, you know? Very different instructions, and yet the overall aim was the same, to defeat the enemies as they claimed the promised land. And that is the very reason why we cannot lean on our own understanding. If they had applied the victory method of Jericho to Ai, I am probably sure that they would have suffered a great deal of defeat. That is why hearing God every step of the way is important. Give us today our daily bread, is the prayer that God gave us. Give us today our daily bread of instructions, of direction, of wisdom. Let's not allow our familiar to hinder us from breaking into the new thing that God is doing. And one thing came to mind. I'm going to skip that, actually. Just because of our time. Yes, I'm going to skip that. But an analogy that God gave me when I was thinking about this was landlines. How many people have a landline in their homes that they use? How many people have used a landline in their homes in the past? And how many people no longer really use it in their homes? So the landlines, I have a landline. I don't even know the number, and I just told them, come take your thing away. Landlines came into existence in the 1870s. Wow. And it took another 100 years before the mobile phone surfaced. It was a beautiful thing to have a landline. It was very effective and very useful. When you had a problem, you picked up your landline, or you went to your neighbor, or you went to the phone booth, and you made a call. The phone box, you remember the red ones? And they were very effective. Up until even when I came back to the country in the 90s, you just go to a phone booth, put your 10p, 20p or whatever, and you make a call. I don't know where those phone booths are now, or phone boxes, or whatever they're called, anyway. What am I trying to say? Okay, we're moving forward. What am I trying to say? The landlines had a purpose. It was effective for a season. It was effective for an era. It was a good thing to have. The landline companies or whoever made telephones, they made every form of design and they made their money from it. Now, not so much. The mobile phones have come and landlines seem like, who even invented landlines? Why? The season has changed. So dwelling on the past, using the landline, when you can use a mobile phone, when you're in your car, your landline is not going to help you. When you're in the shops, the landline is not going to help you. And funny enough, my mother-in-law sent me this on Friday. It was as though she knew I was thinking about landlines and mobile phones. I'm just going to quickly read this. Said, the mobile phone is a very powerful tool. It's so powerful that in so many instances, has replaced the landline, has replaced the television, has replaced the computer, replaced the clock, the camera, the radio, the flashlight, the mirror, the newspapers, the magazines, the books, the video games, the desk calendar, the wallet, and even banking. And dare I add, it has replaced the hard copy Bible. As good as some of these things are, unfortunately, it has also affected many a family in their relationships, their social skills, and little by little is killing our eyes, screen time, killing our cervical spine, posture, and in some cases, affecting our sanity, addiction, and grossly affecting the next generation. And hence, we do need to find alternatives to the negative impact the smartphone is having on us. Let me just ask us a question. Imagine there is a social media virus, you know, the same way COVID-19 happened, and you can't use your mobile phone, your smartphone for 1 week. I imagine some of us will go into depression. Some of us will be lost. We will not know what to do. Let's switch that around and let's have a Holy Spirit media. Our lives without the Holy Spirit is lost. He is our guide. He is the only way we can live the next day. You know, Lamentation says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. That song, I love it so much. And the part I love the most is the new every morning. New. That means it's not something you had before. It's new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God unto us. Great is the faithfulness of God. So what am I trying to say about it with the analogy of the phone? Even though something might be so good for a season, does not mean it is always the go-to thing. That prophecy might be just for a season, that message for a season, or for a person. That wonderful way of engaging with a person, a community, is just for a season. Each one of us here is just here for a season. And hence, why we need the Holy Spirit's continuous direction and guidance each step of the way to accomplish that which God has called us as individuals and as a church at this time. Let us not put ourselves in a way where we allow people to deceive us, you know. Let's not put ourselves in a position where people say what we want to hear or do what we want to do. Let's be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit Media, what are you saying today? What is that word? What are you saying? You know, you look at the mobile phone in the morning, you get the breaking news. What is the breaking news of the Holy Spirit to us? Not the old news. What's the breaking news? And if we know what the breaking news is in the Spirit, we know that we can walk aright. And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31, and we've had that today, and we're having it again. It said, whenever you turn to the right or to the left, 30 verse 21, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you along the narrow roads that lead to life. I just want to encourage us. And somebody was saying something when I look at that verse. He said, I'm always interested in that voice that says behind you, not in front of you. You have to take the step of faith. Not necessarily know where you're going or see how things will pan out, but you may be stepping into the unknown. But as you do so, you're listening very carefully to that voice saying, turn right, turn left, stand still, go ahead. Keep going. That is the way. So I just want to encourage us, every one of us as a child of God, has every day as a new day. And we need to respond to God simply by trusting Him. We have the Holy Spirit who is there, ever ready, like that battery, ever ready, to instruct us, to teach us in the way we should go. Let's be infused with a fresh vigor from God. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that brought that great outpouring on the presence of the presence of God is still present with us today to lead, to instruct, and to guide us. We only just need to start trusting God to do things His way. Trust in the Lord, for in the Lord, in Yah the Lord, is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:4. In summary, or in conclusion, let me ask this question. What will happen if each one of us committed all our doing, all our planning to Him? First and foremost, by asking these questions. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want this to look? How should I respond to this person? Remember, we are all unique. The same answer doesn't apply to everybody. And then we listen. We seek Him. We hear from Him, and then we move. What a transformation we will see in this place. Myself included, I'm talking to myself as well. Let's not open ourselves to a point where people give us what we want to hear or say. I've said that before. The Gibeonite deception, let's be alert to that. Because we talk about the Gibeonite deception. And there's one passage I would like to read, just pardon me, from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, and this is the important bit, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Was that true? On the face of it, it was true. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. What am I trying to say? Sometimes things might sound like the right thing, but they are not necessarily from God. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Listen to God in your everyday life. God doesn't do things the same way. Proverbs 16:3, I will end with that. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you. We thank you, Lord, because you said, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. All you ask of us is to trust and obey you. All you ask of us is to hear from you, trust and obey you. That song says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, we come to you and ask that you grant us the courage, the faith, the strength to always trust you, to inquire of you in our everyday life, so that your will be done in our lives, so that your kingdom will come, and so that we will be true blessings, so that we're not wandering in the wilderness doing the same thing over and over without having results, but that we might press on to our promised land, to our Canaan land that you have given us. Father, I just want to thank you, and I just pray that you strengthen us to stay in our lane. You strengthen us to hear from you. You strengthen us to keep on keeping on, even when things don't seem to be going the way we imagine it, but that you will take the glory in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.